connecting to the internet.
Internet.
Networking software.
World Wide Web for web.
Computer today.
Computer.
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 NetSurfer Pro.
Hey y'all, NetSurfer here, and today we have a...
We have an exciting opportunity.
Okay.
You see, in the 72 to 120 hours since we last recorded, I've come around on Nofantos.
Wait, hold on, say that again, what?
Oh, yes, Nofantos. I forget that you plebeians still call it NFTs. What a silly name.
NFTs, nice fucking try. What are you doing?
You see, I'm launching the newest brand of physical NFTs.
And that is... Wait, hold on, wait. Okay, just keep going.
Well, you see... Nofantos are such a revolutionary thing, providing digital ownership in a marketplace of synergistic ideas. But the problem with them is that you can't hold something. You can't put something in your house. So I am releasing, we are releasing, a brand new line of physical Nofantos of all your favorite NetSurfer Pro moments.
I did not get any emails about this. I was not aware.
I use carrier pigeon now. Oh, it's more authentic.
You see, there's a lot of cats in my neighborhood, so it probably got lost along the way.
Yes, indeed. So... what you need to do is send us $59.99, and we will send you a USB stick with a 6-second MP3 of your favorite NetSurfer Pro moment. It could be that time when Galen talked about fascist Santa from the Santa Claus. It could be that time when Matt said, oh... it could be any moment.
Oh.
Indeed. Right now, in fact, it could be this very sentence. This sentence right here. It is currently being written into an NFT. Now, it should be noted, this still is incredibly costly to the environment.
It should also be noted that because anybody could buy a USB stick, these are pretty fungible.
Indeed.
Now, if you excuse me, I have some fungibles to eat.
Oh, hang on. Let me just... Okay, there we go. I've got my normal voice box in. I'll put aside my high art voice box for special occasions.
The snob box, coming to stores near you.
Right, hello, yes. And welcome to NetSurfer Pro, a whirlwind ride through the World Wide Web. I am your co-host, Galen, and with me, as always...
is the primary host, Matt. That's right, I am R, B, and then your choice of Y or G, depending on what system you're talking about. A system of colors, I mean.
And speaking of R, B, Y, and G...
Arby's Green Food Deluxe Packages? I was going to say, speaking of systems, because that's a bit more on topic to what we have on hand.
Oh yeah, yeah. Here you can just cut all this out, right?
Speaking of awesome. Systems,
it's such a good transition. You're so clever, Matt.
Thanks. I wouldn't have done it without you. So today we're talking about sort of one specific creator in a internet sort of genre or subgenre, but we're also talking about that genre as a whole. It's kind of weird saying it's a genre because it is sort of inherently a form of criticism or journalism, but it's also not. So we're talking about a creator by the name of Scott Wozniak or Scott the Woz. But also the sort of world of video game personalities, if that makes sense. And if not, it will by the next hour or so.
Hopefully it makes more sense by the next, like, 10 minutes. I hope I do a good job explaining this.
Yeah, so let's just go kind of right into it with a sort of fact corner.
Yes. Do you want to play the fact corner jingle?
Sure.
The fact corner.
So, really, it all begins with the angry video game nerd, James Rolfe.
The angriest gamer you've ever heard.
He's the angry Nintendo nerd.
Atari Sega nerd as well.
He's the angry video game nerd, also known as James Rolfe. He originally created this, like, character of the angry Nintendo nerd to just sort of, like, show around to his friends. Then in 2004, it was suggested that he, like, put them up on his website and eventually put them up on YouTube in 2007. And in 2007, it became feature on Screw Attack and Game Trailers, which are two websites that definitely need an introduction. I don't think, like, video game comedy aggregator websites are really a big thing nowadays.
Right, yeah. So, you know, YouTube kind of replaced these in other sort of content aggregator platforms, or just content platforms, but before YouTube, there weren't really places you could just upload a video of your choice. And so a lot of places where people wanted to watch gaming-related videos were specific video game websites. And Game Trailers and Screw Attack both kind of... They both focused on, like, the kind of typical previews, reviews, stuff like that, but also a lot of comedy videos. And AVGN, Angry Video Game Nerd, kind of slotted right in there.
Yeah. AVGN is... AVGN then would... is, I believe, still active today, has had, like, a video game, I think multiple video games, a movie that's just sort of, like, a lot of in-jokes, and is still active, and from what I hear, James Rolfe is actually a really cool dude, which is pretty awesome, but we're going to move on from him.
I do want to mention, though, that, so, AVGN style, there's sort of two important points that we'll play ahead. For one thing, Angry Video Game Nerd is a character played by James Rolfe, that is really focused on, like, rage in sort of a very elaborate way. He gets very mad at classic video games, but uses a lot of very colorful and creative, like, insults. Like, I mean, they're still kind of crude. Like, he talks about, you know, eating a roadkill skunk and downing it with beer in the intro. But that's still more than just, like, this game is dog doo-doo.
Yeah, it's... There's an art to the crassness of it, basically.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then the other thing is that oftentimes... So something you need to know about James Rolfe is that he is more of a filmmaker than a reviewer. And this comes in the fact that oftentimes he would have, like, the character from the video game appear, played by a friend in a costume. And, like, he would interact with that character. So there were these sort of scripted fiction moments added in with the review.
And for my money, as much as I used to watch him, all I can remember very specifically is one scene where he takes a massive shit on Bugs Bunny's face.
Yeah, that the Bugs Bunny stuff sort of became a meme later on as people sort of revisited his videos.
Yeah, but AVGN went on to inspire multiple other creators. He would go on to inspire an entire other website that we're not going to talk about yet, run by a man who we're not going to talk about as well. If you know where Lindsay Ellis and Todd in the Shadows came from, then you know what we're talking about. We're not going to talk about it today.
Yeah. Maybe someday in the future.
More relevant is people such as JonTron, who unfortunately we also do have to talk about.
Unfortunately.
Because JonTron and another creator, Peanut Butter Gamer, were the original, like, two co-creators of Normal Boots, which was also sort of like a content aggregator website, but mostly, like, in, like, 2011-ish, I believe, it was more like a... Honestly, it would be more like a... what the hell is Maker? Like, what's
Okay, so let's back up a bit. So, By this point, YouTube had already blown up in popularity. YouTube was sort of the go-to for videos. So there wasn't as much of a need for a standalone website, except for if you want curation, because there are a lot of YouTube channels out there. There were, and there still are, plenty. You know, obviously there's more today, but you know. So this was sort of a partnership. I think the difference was that something like Maker, which you said, was more of like a contract. It was like a publishing company where they would hire workers based on a contract to make videos for them. And then in turn, Maker would sponsor their videos with payments or salaries or what have you. Normal Boots was more of a sort of group or a co-op where multiple workers or multiple creators kind of worked under the same Normal Boots umbrella. But Normal Boots itself wasn't really a separate company. It was more so just a sort of brand that they all conglomerated under for people to find like-minded content creators.
Yeah.
It's closer to something like Vine Sauce in a way.
Yeah. I was about to say, like, if you're familiar with, like, Vine Sauce and how it's kind of just a conglomerate of streamers, it's that style of, like, you weren't necessarily, like, bound to one specific thing, but it was just sort of, you know, you are a Normal Boots creator, so, you know, it's good to be under an umbrella. It's good to have people, like, other higher YouTubers that can kind of, like, direct people to your channel, things like that.
Yeah.
Normal Boots was created in, I want to say, 2010, maybe 2011. It had a temporary shutdown in 2012, and in 2013, we got a secondary, another this style, which was Hidden Block, which was founded by Shane Gill from DigiNo Gaming, which was actually a Normal Boots, like, property, I guess you would call it. It featured multiple other creators, like Brutal Moose, Kadikarus, Space Hamster, and then Normal Boots was rebooted in 2014, and there was kind of a lot of crossover between them and Hidden Block. There were two different, like...
groups?
Content groups, but there wasn't, like, a contest between them. They were both very willing to collaborate with each other.
Yeah. And then there was controversy that caused Normal Boots to split up, and for good reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we're not getting terribly deep into it, but a lot of these creators, Brutal Moose, Kadikarus, Peanut Butter Gamer, DigiNo Gaming, The Completionist, a lot of them, like, were directly inspired by the AVGN style, but, like, would find their own voices. So, like, for example, The Completionist doesn't really get angry at games all that much. More, the whole crux of The Completionist is that he completes games 100% and then tells you, should you play this like normal? Should you play this casually? Should you try and actually 100% it? Stuff like that. Whereas, like, Kadikarus, for example, he does the similar style of sort of, like, getting really excited about video games, but he isn't necessarily angry. It's more just, like, very hyperbolic.
Yeah. PBG kind of always feels weirded out by games.
Yeah. And Brutal Moose now does food reviews, and they're the best.
Foodle Moose.
Brutal Foods.
So there's definitely sort of a shared style in a way, maybe a format, if you will. There's a lot of, like, very being direct with the camera, you know, like, putting yourself as a personality that is talking about something. And then there's usually a pretty well-understood mix of both kind of review content and scripted content in some way, whether that's just jokes or more involved scenes. Those two aspects are very still there from the AVGN era.
Yeah.
And I feel like if AVGN was, like, the first wave, and the Normal Boots Hidden Block stuff is second wave, then Scott the Woz is sort of third wave. And I would say there's definitely a lot of other sort of third wave creators now that follow the direct style. People like Nitro Rad or Sphere Hunter. these are people who generally have that same sort of, like, I don't know, style, tone, format, but kind of either explore it in more ways or focus it in different ways.
Yeah.
A pretty common thing is that third wave creators will have, like, a more specific form of content they cover. So, like, Nitro Rad covers a lot of 3D platformers and RPGs, but, like, indie RPGs. And Sphere Hunter covers Capcom games.
Scott the Waz covers whatever the hell he feels like that week.
Usually Nintendo games.
Yeah. A big focus is, like, Nintendo and, like, even specifically deep dives into Nintendo. Like, he'll look at an entire console in a video.
Yeah.
Things like that.
So, I guess we should just start with a little bit of facts about Scott the Waz.
Yes.
So, Scott Wozniak, he first published a video in 2017 called The Internet and You, and his first few videos were more of these, like, sketches-style videos. They weren't as much specific reviews. They were much more just, like, kind of scripted and edited content. But by about 2018, he seemed to have settled in as a video game reviewer. He had already made plenty of reviews between sketch videos, but by that point, the sketches kind of fell off a bit, and the video game reviews were much more prominent. That being said, a big part of his style is still these scripted sketches, and so him having, like, experience with making these edited videos, like The Internet and You, definitely played into his sort of growth as a reviewer.
Yeah, Scott is very third wave in the sense that, like, I would say in second wave, there's sort of like a very clear divide between, like, I guess not completely clear, but, like, there's usually sort of like review section and then comedy section. So, like, you know, the review section can be funny, but, like, when I think about, like, JonTron, I think about, like, you know, the him saying, let's boot it up, and then putting the cassette into a cassette player and, like, clicking it, and it makes a terrible sound. And then it, like, hard cuts to him playing the game and sort of making commentary on that. Or, like,
I just want to say, you know, we do not condone JonTron, we just use him as an example.
Yeah. JonTron is still very popular, and it's kind of a shame.
Yeah. Kind of in spite of the controversy he's had.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I think I can sum it up in exactly one thing. In second wave, there is almost always a gag about putting the disc in.
Yes.
There is almost always a gag about actually booting up the video game. Like, I think one of the best ones is, like, PBG literally threw the disc at the floor and was like, okay, editing PBG, can you fix that? And so, like, in obvious, like, Photoshop, he's like, okay, I'll just cut it out here and put it in, and then in the hole I made, I'll put this picture of a scary dog. Things like that.
Yeah.
You don't really see anything like that in third wave, because a lot of the time the, like, sketch comedy and review are kind of one and the same, or are, like, heavily interspersed to the point where, like, you can't watch a whole lot of the video. You can't watch, like, 1 minute of the video where it's just review or just comedy.
Right. So most Scott the Waz videos, they start with sort of a, you know, a pretty basic topic that you'll usually just have as the title. So he'll talk about fitness games or speedruns or, you know, the worst games of all time. Talk about localization, stuff like that. Just like either kind of specific dives into a genre or subgenre, or like sort of a more general concept. Usually, again, these are focused around Nintendo platforms. So the fitness games video has a lot about, like, Wii Fit and stuff like that, even though, like, there are plenty of fitness games in general. But so, like, in sort of, in that way, though, he's able to cover a pretty broad range of ideas in the videos. But to keep it not too dry, he has a very snappy editing style. And I think the sort of distinction between the comedy being separate from the review is really apt with Scott, because he'll do like two sentences of review and then like a quick joke and then back to review and then like a few sentences later a quick joke.
Yeah.
He doesn't make the jokes blend in with the review, though, in the sense that like it's not like Donkey, where you will have jokes that he makes to prove a point or to like accentuate a point. Oftentimes the jokes that Scott makes are independent of the points he's making, or like they'll play off of what he's already said without trying to expand it further. Like he'll talk about something really boring and then he'll be like, "Oh boy, I can't wait to do that." You know, that sort of thing. Where it doesn't really change the message of his statement. It just sort of plays off what he's already stated to make a joke. He also has a lot of running jokes, like a very sitcom-esque style and understanding of them. The most prominent of which is Madden 08. For some reason, he loves Madden 08, as in the football game from 2008. And
technically, it would be the football game from 2007.
Oh, sorry. Yes. And almost every video has a reference to it in some capacity, but he kind of switches up how he references it. He likes to talk about just like owning a lot of copies of it, or not having every single like console that it's on, or just wanting to play it instead of another game.
Yeah, the Scott has a lot of running jokes that usually come to head in like 50 episode specials, which, hey, funnily enough, the 200 episode special is coming out May 23rd. So, haha, if this piques your interest, you can do a lot of digging beforehand if you'd like.
Right.
There's a lot of content before. But, I think another sort of thing that separates, like, first wave, probably even first wave to second wave, is that there isn't lore. Now, what do I mean by that? So Angry Video Game Nerd, ABGN, has lore. It has, like, it started out as just, you know, what you would expect of dumb recurring characters and, you know, callback stuff like that. But then it kind of became its own, like, the in-joke evolves into its own, like, self-referential in-joke. The biggest prime example of this is definitely not ABGN. It is the channel that shall not be named.
It's beloved longtime character Hat Dan.
The Dan with the hat.
I mean, a good sort of example is just the fact that there is an Angry Video Game Nerd movie and a video game, and both of those play off of these running jokes to create, like, stories.
Yeah.
Those are, like, the lore coming to a head in a long format.
Yeah. There is, like, lore to Angry Video Game Nerd. There is lore to Spoonie. I'll use Spoonie as an example. But there isn't... But there isn't lore to Scott the Waz. There is still running jokes, and the running jokes will get, like, their big moments, but they won't, like... It doesn't, like, have a wide... like, wide-scale, big thing.
Well, so the one exception is that there are a few narrative arcs in the channel, but they're kind of given their own videos as, like, a mini-series, and that's it. These are... I don't know if it's too early to talk about them, but there are two sort of narrative arcs like this that cover three videos each. The first...
I don't think it's too early. Like... The difference, before we talk about them, the difference would probably be that, like, the three video arcs, don't, like, intersect. So, like, you have one three video arc, or, like, you have the videos that are, like, the WiiWare Chronicles, but, like, the WiiWare Chronicles don't then flow into, say, the Dark Age of Nintendo, or, like, the the Great Mysteries of Gaming, like, trilogy.
Yeah.
So it's not, like, consistent lore. It's more just, like, little arcs of in-jokes that then have their own finale.
Right. So an example of one of those, like, arcs of in-jokes that have their finale is the You're Not an RPG Guy video from kind of early this year, late last year? Looks like early this year, where, like, Scott not liking RPGs comes to a head in a full, like, musical, like, episode. That's one where, yeah, like, there's not really a story so much as it is just a response to a long series of comments he's made.
Yeah. The Dark Age of Nintendo is also a very good one, where the final episode of that is him finally playing Chibi-Robo Ziplash, which is a really consistent, like, him throwing copies of Chibi-Robo Ziplash into the toilet is a like, common recurring joke. And in, like, it's just that he finally plays it, and it also ties in with its own trilogy of the Dark Age of Nintendo.
Right. So to get to these trilogies, I wanted to bring up again that he started, like, his first three videos were sketches, and these had his friends starring in them, doing little bits. That is more so what these, like, narrative arcs are based off, or, like, around. So there's two that we've mentioned. There's the Mysteries in Gaming and the Dark Ages of Nintendo. I want to start with the Mysteries in Gaming, because I believe that was the first of the two.
Yes.
This has... It starts with Scott saying that he has to go to a dinner party, and so he, like, starts off the video with a recording of himself. It seems pretty normal as it goes, but then, like, about halfway through, it actually cuts to him entering the dinner party, meeting a bunch of characters, like Wendy's employee and Officer Steel Wool, which is a great name for, like, a action cop.
Yeah. It should be, I think, all of these characters are also, like, consistent characters as well. I don't remember if Wendy's employee is, but, like, Jeb Jeb and Terry Westler are two vegans that have shown up in, I believe, the Madden 08 episode.
Yeah.
So, but, like, yeah.
Yeah, so he goes to the dinner party and he learns that the person who invited them there is dead. Or maybe not dead. I don't remember if the video explicitly says it, but basically he's dead. One of the people at the party killed him. And the rest of it is them, like, doing a Scooby-Doo-esque failing to gather clues. They try to, like, split up, but everybody dies anyways. And in the end, it turns out that Officer Steel Wool was the one who killed them all. Because I think it was because the guy who he killed at first had committed, like, tax evasion.
Yeah. the first guy, I think, like, littered or loitered. And he's in, like, Steel Wool is like, he deserved it. He littered. Everyone else, but I was too shy to say I was a murderer, so I had to kill everyone else. And Scott's like, really? That's your reasoning?
Yeah. So Scott is able to turn the tables, and he kills Officer Steel Wool with a kind of a joke that was referenced in the episode.
He doesn't kill him.
He only incapacitates him.
Yeah.
Yes. So the arc kind of goes quiet for a bit until the Bargain Bin Christmas, I believe, is the second one. Yeah.
Yes.
He's doing, it's like, it turns out he's in debt because he's bought so many bad games, and he has to, like, sell his desk, and he goes to the bank with another sort of recurring character there who's like, we can help you with your debt if you do charity work. So he puts on a charity gala for the recently deceased.
Yeah, a charity gala for murder victims, and who happens to show up, but all of the people who were recently treated for murder.
Yeah.
From the dinner party.
It should be mentioned that this is a thing, that death is, like, a treatable illness. It's,
yeah,
a temporary thing. And, yeah, so it's all the murder party, all the dinner party murder victims come back. It sort of has a very, like, Christmas episode-esque message where it's, like, you know, spending money for your friends doesn't mean that they'll appreciate you. Doing things that they'll really appreciate is what matters, or something like that. And then there's this nice little gift of the Magi bit, sort of, where he gives all of them a garbage bin game, but they eventually realize, like, wait a minute, everyone wants somebody else's garbage bin game. He was one off from giving us the correct thing. And it has,
One of them's like, Rock Band 2? I mean, really, he gave you Rock Band 2? And another one's like, actually, I would like, actually, you know, I've got a Rock Band 2 guy who would really appreciate this.
Yeah. And so they all, you know, pass him around. There's also a cameo from the athlete on the cover of Madden 08.
Yes.
Which is absolutely incredible.
And it's the intro is of that one is voiced by James Rolfe.
Yeah, so it kind of comes back nerd. Full circle.
Ah.
And then there is the trial where all of the murder victims decide to sue Officer Steel Wool. And,
for defamation.
Yeah, for defamation. Not even for murder. And so the whole thing is just a sort of, it doesn't even have a review. Like, the bargain bin one still kind of has review elements, sort of like talking about why these games are only a dollar or less, what could cause a game to have that fate. But the trial just doesn't have any video game stuff. It's just the trial.
Yeah. He does have the occasional one of those videos where it's basically still, it goes back to just full skits. They are almost always worth it, though. Homecoming is, like, one of the ones that I like to rewatch a lot, because it's so good.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, in this case, it's just the sort of kangaroo court nonsense.
Yeah.
I want to say, so for one thing, these have very fast cuts, like, very fast cuts. It's very YouTube poop-esque in that way. Like, quick one-liners that kind of happen and happen quickly enough that you can't really stew on them. But it uses that to keep this really fast pace.
Yeah.
Also, in general, the directing isn't that bad. Like, I think he has a pretty good use of, like, camera work and everything. It's definitely, I think, better in the second trilogy, which has some really creative shots using, like, mirrors and stuff.
Yeah. I also want to draw specific attention to Scott uses, internal half logic really well for jokes. So like in one of them he's bleeding and someone says something and it cuts to him with like a jar of like lemonade or something, and he's like, oh great, what am I supposed to do with all the rest of my blood? And the other person asks, why is your blood yellow? And he says, I'm colorblind. And like, It's those kind of like one-liners where it literally does make no sense, but it like has the veneer of making sense. Yeah. Or like in the dinner party, the person who was murdered actually shows up on the TV. Like, there's a TV in the room, and when the lights go out and cut back, the TV is on the floor. He is on the floor on screen. And, like, Scott runs up and checks his pulse on the TV and says, he's dead!
There's,
So, like, yeah, it's, he uses, like, internal inconsistent, like, inconsistency, goodness me, extremely well.
Yeah, in the trial, there's a joke that one of the murder victims is on the jury and is a witness.
Yeah.
And there's a joke he keeps doing where it's like, did he kill you? Yeah, but I don't think he did it. He hasn't convinced me, or you haven't convinced me that he's done it. So like, kind of just outright playing the role of both a jury and a witness at the same time.
Oh, man.
The second trilogy is the Dark Ages of Nintendo, where it's a very specific moment in time with, he covers three Nintendo games that were pretty bad. These being Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival, Mario Tennis Ultra Smash, and Chibi-Robo Ziplash. And the plot involves him going to a therapist to talk about these video games. And the therapist starts by, like, being really confused, like, why would these video games be such a problem? And so the reviews are sort of framed as this him ranting to the therapist, and then the therapist starts needing to go to therapy because of Scott. Because Scott has, like, corrupted his brain with the knowledge of Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival. And this is where I think there's a lot of really smart camera usage. The I don't remember if it's the second one or the third one that opens with the therapist, like, looking into a mirror. And that's just, like, a very, like, it's a very common, I guess, sort of camera shot for, like, people who are slowly losing their grip on reality. But it's just well executed. I think sort of the point I'm trying to make is that he understands the craft well enough. Even if he's not doing anything super original, he's just implementing it well.
Yeah.
So I do also want to mention that even in, like, his kind of normal episodes, he's very much big on, like, hammy overacting. I think it's like, you know, there's kind of subtle acting and there's overacting. Overacting is pretty common in general with these sort of video game reviewers. But Scott kind of, I think, does it well because he, again, it's like he does it only during the joke segments. And usually it's to either show, like, extreme excitement or, like, extreme... He doesn't really do anger that much. When he does anger, it's more of, like, annoyance.
Yeah, honestly, like, it's usually, like, dismay.
Yeah.
He has a really iconic scream. Mm-hmm. The overacting also is, like, it's not always front and center as well, which is really, like, the specific example I'm thinking of is, like, there's a bit where he says, like, these games don't always happen all the time, but when they do, and then it hard cuts to him, like, looking at the game on the shelf, but he's, like, pacing back and forth and yelling in the background, and the foreground narration is, like, when they do, they are, like, I am so fucking surprised they don't happen all the time. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like, the overacting isn't always 100%, like, present, which helps, like, mute it, but still get the full effect.
Mm-hmm. So, I think, sort of, what my main takeaway from Scott is, in a way, he feels like the kind of distilled version of a lot of the early stuff. Like, you know, people stand on the shoulders of giants, and I think Scott, it feels like he's, like, studied or watched a lot of older reviewers, and a lot of the stuff he takes into his style is just, like, the good parts, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, it's very focused.
Yeah, he riffs off of the games very well. He knows when to sort of, like, use his own humor to inject something into it. But he also, like, he also knows when to make the game just sort of speak for itself. And it feels like, yeah, like, he obviously watched a lot of the people that we've mentioned and then kind of just sort of found the parts that worked, toned down the parts that didn't, and then just sort of honed it until it was a razor's edge.
Yeah. And, like, he kind of exploded in popularity, and I definitely think that's, like, no accident. He put out videos super frequently, and they're all, you know, quite high quality at that.
Yeah.
So, like, his work ethic's kind of ridiculous.
Like, he has the production quality of, like, a YouTuber who uploads once a month, except that he can consistently pump out videos, like, once a week for good stretches.
Yeah, again, he is about to upload his 200th episode, and he's been doing this for about 4 years. Maybe three-ish, 3.5. I think that's just really impressive.
Yeah, it is so... Scott is... If Scott is third wave, I cannot wait to see fourth wave. That's all I can really say is, like, Scott is younger and is, like, I mean, his videos consistently get a good million or so views. So I am hoping to, like, I cannot wait to see the people who were inspired by Scott the Waz to sort of, like, to make their own things.
Yes.
Before we close up, if we don't have anything else to say, I do sort of want to highlight, you know, just one or two other people that we think might be interesting along this style. I did mention Kid Icarus. I honestly think that Kid Icarus is a good example of, like, a second wave who really did a really good job of morphing into a third wave. Like, his most recent videos, his more recent videos feel a lot more along the lines of something like Scott the Waz than, you know, something like an old JonTron. I also want to highlight a small creator who goes by RefStewGog, which is we review every PS2 game, oh my god, or oh god. And yeah, he is pretty good. I like the idea of the channel, and I think that he's more muted. He's not really sketch focused, but like he's a good like half analytical, sometimes funny sort of creator.
Yeah, I want to mention a pretty recent one called Nick Is Not Green, who is sort of like a halfway between video game content reviewer, but he also does a lot of Drew Gooden-esque like vlogging type stuff. One thing I like though is that he does a lot of like rap songs at the end of his videos. They're pretty good. And then also I this person is not a he's not a third wave viewer in the sense that we've talked about, but he is a video game reviewer that does have a lot of himself in the videos he makes. And I want to mention Jacob Geller, because his yes. delivery, like his form of narration, is some of the best I've ever heard. He is able to inject so much emotion into what he talks about that, like, it makes me feel the emotions that he says he feels.
Yeah. Jacob Geller is extremely good. I haven't watched, I think, his two most recent videos, but, like, his video over the Golem and the Jewish superhero is extremely good. Four short games about pain, also a very good one to start with.
Right. The Haunted House is really good.
Yeah.
The Shadow of the Colossus video is the first one I saw of his, and that's a good entry point.
As long as we're kind of going more towards, like, video essayists, I do also want to shout out Tess Snakerer, T-E-H-S-N-A-K-E-R-R-E-R. He's, like, very long form, like, multiple hours long, a sort of, like, Noah Caldwell Gervais style video. But, like, he's a Noah Caldwell Gervais length, but with a little bit more, like, direct jokes and personality sort of injected into it. Noah Caldwell Gervais is also great. But he's just started reviewing Yakuza 5, I believe, because he had, like, his Patreon goals are reviewing the different Yakuza games. So he's already done 1 through 4.
All right. I also want to talk about one more smaller creator, which is EuroThug4000, who focuses a lot on, like, aesthetics. She's talked about things like how Jet Set Radio and Splatoon use street culture, life simulators, beach levels, post-apoc. And her most recent video is a really interesting look at the sort of cultural influences in Resident Evil Village.
Ooh.
So that's one more really cool creator you should check out.
And, you know, as long as we're... as long as we're, like, breaking the rules, Draw Opinion Dump is also very good. Draw Opinion Dump is kind of like a... Like, I would kind of describe her as, like, Robo Buddies. But she recently did 3 videos over the Barbie movies. One about the Barbie movies themselves, one that's, like, ranking them all, and then her most recent one is a queer reading of the Barbie movies, which is also, like, which is all of them really good. She also has sort of, she's more, like, movie-focused, so you probably will find something that you quite like within it.
And as far as we're talking about breaking the rules, you should follow me on YouTube, because I'm making another video, actually. How about that?
Hey.
Which is I Eat at Sonic on YouTube. And I think that does it. This is a bit of a shorter episode, but I mean, we just did like some pretty long episodes for the past 2 months. So this is kind of a nice breather.
Yeah.
It's an ice breather.
It's nice to talk about something that doesn't require an entire week to prepare for.
Yes. So I hope you enjoyed this nice breather, maybe found some things you are interested in. And as always, thank you for listening. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at NetSurferPro, where you can send us suggestions, send us comments. You know, I post little emoji teasers for what we're talking about. It's a fun little guessing game. Nobody's guessed yet, but you can be the first to get a cool guess, and then we'll give you a recognition. That's what we're going to call it. A recognition. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I can see it clearly forming in my head. Pinky. You can also like us and follow us on any podcasting platform you use. You know, give us a rating, give us a like, give us a comment. All that sweet things. Tell us how we're doing. All that jazz. You can also follow me on Twitter at Matt Craig Gaming, where I tweet out what I'm thinking about, what I'm doing, what I'm watching, what I'm talking about, any sort of comments. And you can also follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/twack. That's twitch.tv/twak. I stream on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I play a lot of competitive games, a lot of roguelites. You know, been playing a lot of Binding of Isaac recently. So if any of that sounds interesting, come check that out. Always a good time, always chill, and always pretty analytical.
You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/GalenWilson. That's twitter.com/GalenWilson. I post my hot takes and retweet some cool shit. You can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/MachineGunVampire. I might start streaming someday. And you can find me on YouTube at TheOnlyGalen on YouTube. And you can find Patricia Taxon on YouTube at Patricia Taxon on YouTube. Who you should definitely follow instead of me. Not instead of Matt, though. You should follow Matt.
Yes, follow me. Set me free. Trust me and we will escape from this podcast. See ya.
Bye.